Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Old Tom Dragnet Show. This is your host, Adam Graham, coming to you once again from Boise, Idaho, as we get started with this episode, which, for reasons I'm about to explain in a minute, will be the last episode we actually go ahead and podcast live. Before we get into that, I want to encourage you to please check out our blog, Dragnet Radio. Blogspot.com. Up there, I actually have a link. I finished Michael J. Hady's book, My Name is Friday, and I've got a book, a review there, and we're kind of starting to do a product of the week feature, and I found it very entertaining. You may enjoy it as well. Just go to dragnetradio.blogspot.com. Please also cast your vote for us on Podcast Alley. You can vote for us once a month, so if you voted for us in May, most of the people who download this episode will be doing it in June, so I encourage you, just be sure to vote for us once a month. As of right now, we are number 54 on the Podcast Alley list. Phenomenal support. I really appreciate it as we continue forward with the Dragnet Show. And also send your email to adam@adamsweb.us. Okay, I wanted to talk about, first thing, this will, as I announced, will be the last time we do the Dragnet Show live. We're still going to do the show, don't get me wrong. I have too much fun listening to the show. And really, all the support and appreciation we receive really, you know, makes it worthwhile. TalkShoe has announced that they will not be paying for downloads, basically, of the show or for live listeners. Like I said, we're still going to do the show. We not only have GoToMyPC, but even if we didn't have GoToMyPC, we still have just a whole lot of fun doing the show, and I love the content and material, and I want to get through all the seasons of Dragnet. That's something I'm really committing to doing here on this show. We're not going to do the live shows anymore because without TalkShoe incentivizing them, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to do them, just to be quite honest. Because we've done them because it's been something that TalkShoe wanted and that they, you know, encouraged people to do. But we've had very few people come in and listen live. And oftentimes we have situations with poor audio where, to me, it's just the interface and the VoIP and, you know, a bunch of technical things going on we don't have any control about, but I still feel bad that we're having that situation. And, you know, it got to a point, I think it was about 6 months ago, where we stopped actually doing the shows, the audio live that we got from the shows because we had so many complaints about it. What we did instead was we went ahead and just did the audio at the beginning and then went ahead and recorded in the sound. And I see Corey Asher's dialed in. You can hit the request to talk button, and if you do want to talk, or if you're just calling in on the phone, that's fine too. If you call in and you're dialing in on the phone, you can hit *8 to actually request to talk, either way. I want to go ahead here and just so you know, the long and short of it for you as the listener is you'll probably just end up getting the show a little faster because we'll still, you know, basically we'll do the show during the week. We'll have it already recorded, and then we'll upload it at about 6:30 p.m. Mountain Time on Saturday night, so you'll still be getting the show once a week. So it's not going to change anything for the vast majority of you that continue to download the program. If you might have a business or something that would like to help sponsor the program or some suggestion in that regards, we'd love to hear it. Certainly not required, but anything you can suggest will be much appreciated here. And we'll continue to find different ways to continue to help the show grow, obviously. I want to go ahead and quickly get to the comments we got off Podcast Alley. I've been listening to the show for several months now and have just caught up with the current episode. I've got used to other podcasts, which provide an episode of a serial without any commentary, and I was a bit wary of subscribing to this one, expected to have to fast forward through the chat to get to the good bit, but Adam's commentary has gotten better and better, more insightful as time has gone on. A great show. I now listen every week without fail. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much, and that's nice, because I've heard some people who've said, you know, I'll just fast-forward through the commentary. Well, that's very kind, but I appreciate to hear the other feedback. Thank you very much. That's very kind. Continued thanks to you for your great program. Thanks for your insight, and look forward to it each week. Tommy, great podcast-friendly host, too, and that's from El Moore. And actually, I got a question through Podcast Alley. What is the video podcast address of the NBC to get the 60s video feeds of Dragnet? And Harry Morgan's was top, even better than he was in MASH. That address is simply www.hulu.com/dragnet. I've actually gone ahead and added that link to the sidebar, as well as the link to Hulu's Adam 12. I'm also looking at doing something for the Dragnet 1950s shows. There are actually several sites that have a few of the episodes in public domain. I watched one I had not seen before last, I believe it was actually Thursday night. It was, the Big Casing. And there's actually was some of the 1950s shows I had not seen, so I will be posting some links there. So, over at dragnetradio.blogspot.com. But just go over to the sidebar. It's there. For those of you who didn't hear it the first time, it's hulu.com/dragnet. And another comment is, you have one great show worth waiting for. Thanks for the podcast. And thank you very much. I appreciate the comments. I encourage everybody to vote at Podcast Alley. A comment is not required. It's appreciated, but if you just want to vote to show your support, please do so. Also, we are adding a listener survey, because we kind of want to have an idea of who's listening and who's enjoying the program. And it's very neat, too, particularly if you're in, you know, some different area of the world. Like, we've had some listeners from Australia, or some people who listen to us over France. So we will be adding that one. There's a URL for it, but I'm not going to try and read that on the air, because, you know, hulu.com/dragnet, people can write down. This URL, people aren't going to be able to write down. And I've got an option here of a short survey and a long survey, and I'm going to give the short one because I don't want to make people take the long one. All right. This is, as I mentioned before, is the last live episode we're going to do. If you want to have a big finish, you want to have a big episode. And that's the case with today's episode. This is one of those Joe Friday, you know, that features Joe Friday Undercover. And these have to be my favorites of the 1950s radio series. When they got into the 1960s TV series, I've been noticing, Friday doesn't go undercover a whole lot. The big undercover jobs end up going to Bill Gannon, you know, who is, you know, who gives Harry Morgan that chance to show some versatility. But when you get Friday into a really good, you know, somewhat dangerous undercover situation, you're going to have a lot of fun. And I think that is the case with this episode, which is The Big Meat. So we'll have probably a very short closing segment because we've gone a little bit long here. But let's go ahead and get started with The Big Meat here on the Old Time Dragnet Show.
The story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, brings you Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to narcotics detail. A gang of veteran dope peddlers moves into your city. They offer $100,000 worth of heroin for sale. They make their contacts. They're ready to do business. Your job: stop them.
Hello?
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Wednesday, June 24th. It was sultry in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of narcotics. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Thad Brown, chief of detectives. My name's Friday. It was 9:27 a.m. when I got to the Charing Cross Apartments on 12th Street. The side entrance.
Hi.
Hi. Anything doing?
Nothing.
How's the bug working?
Better. One of the fellas in the crime lab came out and fixed it last night, went next door and replaced the microphone. I'm getting real sour on this detail, Joe.
Well, here, let me take over for a while, huh?
Yeah, you betcha. Here. My ears feel like a couple of baked cauliflowers. 2 solid weeks holed up in this place with a pair of earphones on.
Yeah.
What do we got to show for it? That woman next door hasn't even mentioned narcotics in 2 weeks. All she does is eat, sleep, and play solitaire. Goes out for groceries once in a while.
Hold it. Somebody ringing the buzzer next door.
First visitor in a week.
Yeah. Just a minute. Yes?
Your name is Mayor.
That's right. What is it?
I talked to a friend of yours, George. Thought it might be a good idea if I let you in.
What do you want to see me about?
Business, Miss Washburn. Could we talk inside?
All right, come on in.
Let me plug in these earphones, Joe.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to introduce myself, Miss Washburn. My name's Howard Scully. You and George were former associates, I understand.
Mm, we worked together a little. What can I do for you?
Well, George and I are old friends. We were in business in Hong Kong before the war. He's a nice fellow, George.
No, I have a date downtown in half an hour. I don't have much time to talk.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize you were in such a hurry. I'll get right to the point.
Yeah.
My business partners and I just came up from Mexicali a few days ago, and we have some merchandise that's ready for the market, and it's good quality.
That's what I hear.
I contacted George, thinking he might introduce me to some prospective buyers. He said he didn't want to handle any merchandise at this time.
Why not?
Oh, it's something about the police. They seem to be watching him. He just didn't want to take any part in any business venture. Get it.
George gave you a bum steer sending you to me. I can't help it.
Well, you haven't heard my proposition.
I don't have to hear it. Count me out. I don't fool around with junk, any of it. It's a tough rap out here.
Well, if you'll just listen to my proposition, Miss Washburn, I'm not asking you to be involved. I'm a perfectly safe and legitimate transaction in mind. You'll be well paid for your time and effort with no risk whatsoever.
Yeah, I know. All you big connections make it sound good.
George tells me you're acquainted with the right kind of people. People with money, that's the kind of people that my partners and I want to meet. Now, all I'm asking you to do is introduce me to a few such persons for our mutual benefit, and then you just leave the rest to me.
That's still too much. If I gave you an office to a buyer and you were caught, they'd get me for conspiracy.
No, there's not...
I've seen too much of it, Scully. It's no sale.
Well, you'll just have to believe me, Miss Washburn. No one's going to be caught. Now, we work in an entirely different manner. The police haven't any idea of our method of operation. We've tested it in 6 big cities in the Orient. And not once did it fail us, and I tell you, it's not going to fail us here.
It's your story.
Well, it's...
I'm not chancing a rap to prove you're wrong.
Well...
Here, do you want a cigarette?
Yes, thank you. Oh, I'll match right now.
Thanks.
Now, I'm only asking one thing, Miss Ward. An introduction to the right party, and that's all. Now, you know my reputation. I'll make it well worth your while. If the connection is right, you can live on your take for the rest of the year.
I don't have many friends, just a few whom I guaranteed for my payoff.
Well, I can deposit the money with George. He'll hold it until the deal is made. You'll be real rich, Miss Washburn. Come on, what do you say?
An introduction, that's all.
That's all we'll need. Our product speaks for itself.
I know a fellow out in Hollywood. His name's McMillan. I can call him and tell him to meet you.
That'll be fine. How soon?
I'm not going to introduce you.
No, that won't
I'll
be...
set up a meet for you, that's all.
All right, that's all we ask. Do you have this Mr. McMillan?
McMillan.
You have him meet me tonight?
I think so, yeah.
That's fine. Now, tonight at 11:30, I'll be at the corner of 7th and Alameda. Now, remember this now.
Yeah, all right.
Corner of 7th and Alameda at 11:30 exactly. I'll have on a gray coat, and I'll be carrying a book. Now, McMillan shouldn't have any trouble recognizing me. You just tell him to walk right up to me, put out his hand and say, my name's McMillan, that's all. I'll know if he's the right party. My name's McMillan. That's all he has to say.
All right, I've got it. I'll pass it on.
Fine. Well, I'll make arrangements with George as soon as possible to take care of your fee. Thank you very much, Miss Wishman.
Not at all. Just don't be too sure of yourself. The fuzz in this town could smell a bite 3 miles away.
We'll take care of the police, Miss Washburn. The system should teach him a few lessons. Well, goodbye, Miss Washburn. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Don't come here after this. Call me on the phone.
Certainly.
Goodbye. Joe, wait a minute. She's going for the phone. Come on.
Just a minute.
Try the door. It's locked.
What do you want?
Police officers.
All right, what's the pitch?
Like to talk to you downtown.
About what?
Howard Scully.
What about him?
We know why he was here. Get your coat, please.
I haven't done anything.
Come on, lady, let's go.
I told Scully I didn't want in. He made the proposition, but I didn't buy it. You know that. I didn't buy a word of it.
We did. Before the suspect was taken downtown, we informed her landlady to tell anyone that she'd be out of town for a week. That information was to be passed on to any of her friends or business acquaintances who might try to contact her. After that, we took Mae Washburn back to the office. After being questioned thoroughly, she was detained for further investigation. At 2 p.m., Ben and I met with Captain Kearney, Central Narcotics, and Inspector Virgil Beckner, State Narcotics Bureau, Southern Division.
$100,000 buy, is that what they have in mind?
That's the word around town, Skipper. Washburn girl told us the same thing.
The Washburn woman was approached for an office, huh?
Yes, that's right, Beck. She was ready to go when we picked her up. Pusher's Howard Scully, you remember him?
About 9 years ago, wasn't it, the Tijuana deal?
8 or 9 years, yeah. That big heroin buy, they tagged every one of the gang but Scully.
Yeah, he's no amateur. He's got every narcotic law in the book memorized. He sets the deals, takes the gravy, but he never gets tagged.
How about the federal narcotics men, Romero? They've been briefed on this deal?
I called Harry Stone over there this morning. They've been following it, too. Said he'd be over this afternoon.
The setup of this McMillan guy. What do you think, Captain?
Clear sailing there, Beck, as far as I can see. Scully set up to meet with Mae Washburn. Ben and Joe grabbed her before she could contact McMillan. Unless Scully's got a Ouija board, he still must figure everything's Jake.
Then we could have a man meet with Scully tonight and pass himself off as McMillan.
Well, shouldn't be too much trouble. From the way he talks, Scully's never seen McMillan. Has no idea what he looks like. It's just a guess.
Neither one of you are known to Scully, are you?
I never met him or his friends.
Mm-hmm. I worked that case last February when we grabbed Ray Murdock. He used to be a mule for Scully. That's as close as I've been.
Well, I'm afraid that's too close. You know how many hype friends Murdock has in this town. If any of them spot you and pass the word to Scully, the whole deal's choked off. Joe?
Mm-hmm.
You think you could pass yourself off as McMillan for a couple of days?
I'd like to give it a try.
Beck, what do you think?
Good with me. We can help with the tailing. Only one possible hitch I can see.
Yeah?
We're not positive this guy McMillan's a total stranger to Scully.
It sure sounded like it, didn't it, Joe? The way Scully and the Washburn girl were talking.
It's possible Scully might have seen a picture of McMillan. Maybe he knows something about his background, his habits, how he does business.
Well, it's possible, yeah.
Suppose Scully starts asking you questions, Joe. How are you going to cover it?
Well, we could talk to the Washburn girl again. She might brief us.
Now, if we need the guy's life history, let's pick it up firsthand.
How do you mean?
Get McMillan.
Late that afternoon, Stanley McMillan was located at a small restaurant out in the valley and quietly placed under arrest. He was booked at one of the outlying stations on suspicion of violating the State Narcotics Act. We questioned him and got all the necessary information on his background that we needed. He told us that he had never seen or had any dealings before with Howard Scully. 7:30 p.m. I went home, changed my clothes, put away my gun, ID card, and the rest of my identification. An hour later, I checked in at a small hotel near 5th and Main Streets. 11:15 p.m., I left the hotel and started for 7th and Alameda Streets, where the scheduled meet with Howard Scully was to take place. As in most cases, there was one all-important rule that I had to work by. If the suspects were to be arrested and successfully prosecuted, we had to get them with narcotics in their possession or under their control. And one of the first things that the working detective learns is that dealers such as Scully rarely do the actual handling of narcotics except at the actual moment of sale. If the officer fails to make an arrest at that moment, the odds are stacked heavily against the conviction of the narcotics criminal. 11:30 p.m., I got to the corner of 7th and Alameda Streets. I walked up to a man standing by a lamppost. He was short, heavily built, dark hair, dark eyes, and a small scar on his chin. He had on a gray coat, and he carried a book under one arm. I put out my hand.
Yes?
My name's McMillan.
Oh, glad to know you, Mr. McMillan. My name is Scully.
Who are you?
Understand we have mutual friends, is that correct?
That's what I'm told, yeah.
You're from Louisiana originally, New Orleans.
No.
Oh, that's so? I thought you were from Louisiana.
Missouri, St. Louis.
Oh, I see. I suppose we go for a drive, huh?
My hotel's down on 5th. We could talk there.
Oh, I think my car would be better.
I can't afford to waste time. I got customers waiting.
Oh, you can believe me. This won't be a waste of time. I'm prepared to do business.
All right, let's go.
Fine. No, go ahead, McMillan.
All right, thanks.
Now, will you raise that handle on the other side so I can get in?
Yeah, sure.
Fine, thank you. You can't be too careful in L.A., I hear.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of heat.
Oh? I hope none of it's on you.
No worry, I'm clean.
No tumbles.
Would I be here if there were? I got customers to protect, good customers.
Fine. You know, maybe we can do business. How much can you handle?
How much you got?
Well, how about 10,000 worth? Standard rate, full measure. Hard to cut it off.
Sounds fair. We drove three more blocks, and then Scully pulled the car to a stop underneath a row of spreading palm trees on a deserted street. He pulled the emergency brake on, then he turned to me, clamped my arms to my sides, and shook me down. What's the pitch here? What's the idea?
No offense, McMillan. Simple precaution in case you had a gun.
What do you take me for, mister? I'm not used to doing business this way. That might go real great in the East, but it's nothing out here.
I said no offense. This is a hot town. You could be a fuzz. You can't be too careful, you know that.
Yeah, well, you don't have to pull that careful stuff with me. Who set up this meet, anyway?
May Washburn.
All right. If you can't trust her, you can't trust me. Now, maybe I'm not in the mood for business.
Oh, no, come on. Take it easy, Mac. We work this right, and we've both got a good deal.
Well, let's get to the point. Where's the stuff?
You bring the money, we'll bring the merchandise.
Wait a minute. The car that pulled up behind us. Let's get out of here.
Oh, you're nervous, Mac. Relax. That's my partner. Come on, I'll introduce you.
All right.
Jim. Jim, this is McMillan.
Mac, this is my partner, Jim Rhodes.
Who are you?
Yeah. Do we do business, Howard?
Guy's all right, Jim. He's ready to score.
How much do you want?
Whole bundle. Can start with 10 G's worth.
Can you handle that, McMillan?
I'd say so if I couldn't. I don't give it away.
You get the money, you get the stuff.
When?
10 G's worth tonight, rest next week.
Well, midnight now. What do you expect me to do, bring the money with me?
Howard will pick you up at 3 a.m., same corner.
Sure.
Well, that doesn't give me much time, does it?
It's enough time if you're really looking. If you're just shopping, we'll forget about it right now.
A lot of my customers live out of town.
That's interesting.
10 grand is no geezer. Suppose I can't get all the money together.
Then don't show up. All or nothing.
June 25th, Thursday, 12:30 a.m. I had 2.5 hours to raise $10,000. The narcotics dealers, Howard Scully and his partner, Jim Rhodes, had laid it out for me. Either I had the money by 3 a.m. or there was no deal. If it failed to come off, our plan to trap the narcotics gang would be worth nothing. Rhodes and Scully could possibly find another buyer without our knowledge, make a deal, and flood the market with their store of narcotics. I knew it'd be impossible to get the $10,000 together. We had only one alternative. Fake our way as best we could. I went back to the hotel, put a call through to Captain Kearney at the office, and told him what had happened. He went to work on it. From the Narcotic Details Emergency Fund, set up for such purposes, we got together $600. From Chief of Detectives Thad Brown, Deputy Chief White, the State Narcotics Bureau, and anyone else available by phone, we succeeded in rounding up another $350. 2:30 a.m. The money was tied in two small bundles, with hundreds, fifties, and twenties on top. $1 bills were sandwiched in between. The two bundles were placed in a briefcase and delivered to me at the hotel on 5th Street. A gun was also in the briefcase. I took it out, put it in my pocket, closed the briefcase. 2:45 a.m. I left the hotel with the money and started for the big meet. 3 a.m. 7th and Alameda.
McMillan, how are you?
Scully.
We're down this way. You have the money?
Well, your pal said all or nothing. I got it.
Let's have a look.
How about the merchandise?
We can check it in the car. It's right down here.
Rhodes?
All right. The money?
Yeah, that's right. I got the money. Now, how about a look at this stuff? I'd like to know what I'm buying.
We can stop on the way for a sample. Okay, Howard. Care for some, McMullen?
What do you got?
Cashew nuts. Have some.
Thank you.
There's lots of heat in this town. Cops are thick as flies.
Yeah, that's right. Rough time. I gotta be careful.
What's the reason, anyway? When to start?
Well, about 6 weeks ago, the bulls tagged some high school kids. Half dozen of them.
Huh? What for?
Well, they were regular hypes. Just punks, 18-year-olds. A couple of them were 17.
Young squirts.
Yeah, and the heat's gonna get worse. One of the punks cashed in yesterday. Read it in the paper. Overdose.
Not gonna help, is it?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm playing it close. I got good customers, and I'm not going to risk my neck.
How much stuff do you think you can handle a month, McMillan?
No thanks, no more. Oh, I got about 30 mainliners. They're regular, and they're sure. 8-10 ounces a week, but they like good stuff, no alley hype junk.
Howard must have told you, it's all we handle, good stuff. If it goes right, we could make it a permanent connection with you.
Well, I'd like to see what you're offering first.
We'll have a good look. All right, Howard, you know where to pull up.
Yeah.
You stay in the car, McMullen.
All right.
Yeah. All right, Mac, you can get out.
Yep.
There you go. Some of the best white stuff you've seen in a long time. Satisfy yourself.
Hmm.
All right.
Okay, it's standard.
It's all good. Not just that sample.
Okay, I'll go.
Okay, now how about the money?
All right, have a look. There you are. One stack. Two stacks, hundreds, twenties, tens. A few fives in there. It's 10 grand. Satisfied?
Okay. Jim?
Right.
Excuse me, Mac. Just a minute. I'm just checking.
What do you think you're doing? Get your lousy hands off of me.
Now, no offense, McMillan. These are simple precautions.
Precaution's nothing. We're doing business, aren't we? You shook me down once tonight. Now, how many times are going to take you?
No offense, Mac. He's just checking, that's all.
All right, then. Suppose I fan you two down. I got the dough. How do I know this isn't a hijack deal? Now, come on. This business works both ways. Either we have a deal or we don't. We play ball on both sides or not at all. I'm getting sick and tired of taking second place.
Okay, Mac. Okay, take it easy. Forget it, Howard. Let's all go back to the car.
Sure. I'm sorry, Mac. No offense.
Yeah.
Okay, let's close the deal.
Where are we going to go?
Don't worry. It's a safe place. Okay, Howard.
A.M. In another hour, it'd start getting light. I knew they'd planned to have the buy take place before then. According to our plan, Ben and Sergeant Hunt, along with the other team of men from the State Narcotics Bureau, they were to tail us to the place of the meet and move in on a signal from me when the buy was actually in progress. 3:45 a.m., Scully drove out North Figueroa onto Pasadena Avenue and turned right onto Avenue 43. We headed up Montecito Drive. The area became more deserted. There were no homes around, no buildings of any kind to provide cover for anybody that might be following. Somewhere below, we could hear the rattle of a freight train on its way to the Southern Pacific Yards. Off in the distance, I could see the lights of the city. I looked pretty far away. Scully finally pulled the car to a stop on the crest of the highest hill in the area. We got out.
What do you think, Mac?
Well, a nice view.
Yeah. Spent a long time finding this spot. Foolproof.
Yeah?
Bring him over here, Jim. Let's show him.
Come on. See there? Clear view of everything down below. At least half a mile in every direction. No chance of getting trapped up here.
Pretty smart. That's the way I like to deal. If
there's any cops following us, we can see the lights before they get here. Plenty of time to cover up any evidence. Cops ask questions, why, we tell them we're just looking at real estate up here. It's pretty good, huh?
Well, I gotta hand it to you. You can't be too careful. What do you do for lookouts?
Let me show you. Swede! Now, Swede!
Who's that?
Friend.
Yeah, Jim?
Well, what's the pitch? Who is this guy?
Business pal of Howard and me. Swede, this is Mr. McMillan.
What do you say?
I do.
Look, how many people do you need to make a buy, Rhodes, huh?
Swede's our lookout. It's a big fella, isn't he?
We got enough people here for a Sunday picnic.
We need a lookout. You just got finished saying it. We can't be too careful.
Well, come on, let's wrap it up. Where's the stuff?
Swede, you want to go?
Okay, Howard.
How far does he have to go?
Close by. Stuff was put away down the tall grass. Nobody ever found it.
It's a good idea. I like the way you operate.
Swede will have the stuff for you in a minute. Well, how about the money? Should we count it?
Rather wait till Swede gets back.
Okay. Swede for the car.
Can't beat this spot, can you, McMillan?
No, it's good.
You had no idea how much time we spent looking for it.
You did real good.
Yeah. Here you go.
Okay, thanks.
Now the money, hmm?
Well, how about counting it out here, huh? I'd feel better keeping an eye on that road down below.
Okay, good idea.
Well, let's count it, Mac, huh?
Yeah, all right. There you go. There's one bundle, and there's the other.
I'll count it, Jim.
Yeah, snap it up. We've been here long enough already.
Well, there's quite a few $1 bills here.
Huh?
Well, there's a few of them, but it's all there, $10,000.
Well, that's how it could be with all these ones.
Here, let me see.
Don't bother, Rhodes.
Here, what are you trying to pull?
All right, get away from the car, Scully. You too, Swede.
Put the gun down, Mac. You won't get away
get
with it.
Get your hands behind your head. That means you too, Rhodes.
Nobody's hijacked us, McMillan. You're not going to be the first one.
It's no hijack, mister. This is a pinch.
He's a fuzz. He's a lousy fuzz. I knew I should have found him again.
Shut up, Howard. You know we can square this with you, Mac. $5,000 cold cash, no questions.
You're talking to yourself, Rhodes.
I'll make it ten. $10,000 cash. Now, you can't afford to pass that up.
Come on, how about it, Mac? You're human just like we are. You can use the dough.
You keep your hands behind your head, mister.
Use some sense, copper. Swede's as strong as a horse. I could put him on you, he'd break every bone in your body.
Gonna have to get past this gun first.
You're not gonna stop all three of us. How do you think you're gonna get back to town?
Don't worry, he won't have to walk.
He'll never get us downtown. Swede'll break you in half, he'll kill you.
You just gave me an idea, Rhodes.
Huh?
You're pretty tough. Shouldn't bother you. I'll kill the Swede right now. You and Scully can carry his body in front of me. We'll start walking down that road or we hit the nearest place with a phone. I think that'll take care of it, won't it?
He hasn't got the guts, Jim.
Turn around, Swede.
Now look, don't kill me, mister. I'll go with you. Don't shoot.
Turn around. Stay where you are, Scully.
Don't kill him, copper. Don't kill Swede. We'll do anything you say.
Somebody coming. Look, Mac, we'll give you every dime we own. $50,000. Now tell him nothing's happened.
Ben, over here.
$50,000, Mac. You can't lose.
Right, Joe. Back. Back over this way.
The three of them, Ben.
Okay. All right, behind your back. Come on. Couldn't get here any sooner, Joe. Had to park at the bottom of the hill or they'd have seen us.
Stand still, mister.
Yeah.
We circled around on foot and climbed up through the grass.
I was beginning to think I lost you.
All right, you two. Get them behind your back.
Back.
Hi, Joe.
Here's the junk right here. These two packages.
Good. That ought to sew it up.
Look, talk it over with your partners, huh? $50,000. You do the right thing. It's all yours.
How about it? $50,000. You can't lose.
What they talking about, Joe?
Well, they got a big deal. They'll give us $50,000 if we let them go.
How about it, Tex? You could use the dough. New car, new house. Just forget you ever saw us. Easy as that. $50,000 cash. What do you say, Tex, huh?
Sorry, you got the wrong man.
What?
My name ain't Tex.
The story you have just heard was true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
In a moment, the results of their trial.
Mr. May Washburn, Howard Lewis Scully, James Henry Rhodes, and John Swede Nelson were tried and convicted. They received their sentences as prescribed by law and are now serving their term in the state penitentiary. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases, portions transcribed from official files.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
All right, welcome back. That episode was notable for quite a few reasons. Of course, the fact that the big meat was actually used in the course of conversation, where Friday actually referred to it as the big meat. And when we talk about, you know, big gun, big watch, big 38 caliber, nobody actually says big 38 caliber. So that was kind of interesting. But this is perhaps Jack Webb's acting, you know, at another level than just normally doing Friday. And you almost sensed, you know, you wondered, you know, a little bit, was he really serious when he said, okay, I've got an idea, we'll just go ahead and we'll shoot Swede. You wonder, is he really serious? I think he was bluffing, but, you know, the criminals definitely bought into it. I think, you know, it's one of those things. I also was kind of, when I first listened to it, I was kind of like, you know, when they were driving him up there, did they have some sort of hint that he was really a police officer, and were they bringing him up there to do a man? So I was, you know, it was an episode that definitely held my attention. And that's the nice thing about Webb's style. He strives for realism. And so with a realistic situation, you might get a case that's fairly mundane. Last week it was a series of bad checks. But some interesting suspects surrounding it. But this one, you know, the undercover narcotics thing was just a huge, you know, hugely interesting and hugely engaging. So I definitely enjoyed it. All right, well, we are going to wrap it up. Got Corey Asher on the line, who's called in several times. I'll go ahead and let him talk. Hello.
Hi. I just had a question. How did the car with Ben Romero and the other guy get there without them seeing? Because I thought the hill made it so they could see the cars all coming.
Well, basically, from what I can gather here, they went ahead and they pulled the car off the road before it got to the point where they would be able to see them, and then basically went up the hill on foot. So basically they parked at the bottom of the hill, and then they went straight up the hill on foot through the grass so that they wouldn't see them. Because if they had followed them up the hill, then they would have been detected. So I think they stopped following them when they realized, hey, if we keep following them, they're going to see us. So that I believe, is what occurred.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much for the question. As always, feel free to email your thoughts and questions to adam@adamsweb.us. And if you please cast your vote at Podcast Alley. And again, if you'd like to, you know, be in on a recording of the program, certainly I'd love to fix that up with people. We may still, even though we're not doing live shows, still have shows where we do the recording, where I might send out the actual episode beforehand, and then we can do the after part together. So if anybody's interested in doing that, email me, adam@adamsweb.us. But for now, we're going to go ahead and sign off. I do thank everybody so much for listening, and this is Adam Graham signing out.